I'd like to thank the elders and everyone for the opportunity to be here and speak with you this morning. So, everyone has goals. Some of you are starting a new school year, so you have goals in mind on what you'd like to do. Some of you would just like to get through classes. Some of you would like to graduate. Some of you would just like for it to be over. We all have goals in life, whether it's to lose weight, to be somewhere in our job, do something else that we've planned on doing, take a vacation. For Jeremy, Ben, and Tad, it's to be the best-looking Morris brother, but we'll just leave it at that. We all have goals that we're looking forward to. One of the funny things that I noticed this morning, Ben and I didn't have a conversation about what I was going to talk about this morning, but every single one of his songs led into exactly what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about a land flowing with milk and honey. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to make a comparison of what we see in the Old Testament with a land flowing in milk and honey and what it really meant to them. And then we're going to talk about our ultimate goal. Because to be honest with you, I don't know if we really talk about heaven as much as we need to. We need to have a goal, a line of sight, something to have our heading, something to point ourselves to. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at it this morning. So we'd like to do a comparison of both of those. So let's start off and talk about what is the land of milk and honey. So if you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 23. This is the spies have gone and searched out the land of Canaan, and they have come back. And I want to read for you, starting here in verse 23, and then we're going to skip down and we'll take a look at verse 27 here. And they came to the valley of Eklon and cut down there a branch with a single cluster of grapes. And they carried on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. These cluster of grapes, and I just wanted to make sure that I was right in what I thought a cluster of grapes were. So I looked it up, and most of the time when my family and I, we buy a cluster of grapes, it comes in little plastic bags, right? You can kind of grab it with your hands, and they usually go by the pound. It's 2 or 3 pounds, right, maybe? And I've seen some of the most expensive grapes in the world come from Japan, and they're about the size of a silver dollar. They're pretty good size, but they probably weigh 10 to 15 pounds. That's something that someone could carry on their back. But this is a cluster of grapes, no matter how big or small the grapes were, that was so heavy that a single person could not carry it through the journey. Now, for people, and let's talk a little bit about what the people of Israel were going through right now. They've just come out of the land of Egypt. They're wandering through the wilderness. And they're wanting these fruits that are not found in the wilderness. Their animals are wanting things, the good grasses that they have seen. But these grapes would have been eye-opening, even for us today, in a very fruitful land. But to see these spies coming carrying these huge grapes from this land that had an abundance. Not only that, but there were pomegranates and figs, fruits that they haven't seen since they've left Egypt. And then as we come back down into verse 27, it says, "And they," this is the spies, "told him, 'We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.'" It surely does, as God has promised us, does flow with milk and honey. Well, what does it mean to flow with milk and honey? Well, let's take it step by step. I want to break down each one of them. And I want to take and talk about each one of the processes and what it would mean to the Israelites to have this. Okay, milk. What is milk? Comes from animals, whether it's goat's milk, whether it's cattle, wherever it comes from. But to get milk, it takes animals that are healthy, it takes good grasses, it takes clean water, and it takes a plenty of it for those animals to have it. As well as the animals have to be healthy enough to be giving birth as well. So this for the children of Israel means that it is their food supply. Those animals are doing well. They're healthy. They don't have to worry about marching all over the place to try to find these things. They're being provided for through this grassland. And it means also that the animals are producing enough milk that it's just continuing, that they don't know what to do with it, it would seem. But they're able to take that, and they're able to use that, and for all intents and purposes, it is life. And it's not just survival, but it's good living as well. So the other thing here that was mentioned is honey. And honey needs two things to be produced. It needs flour for the bees to go to get the nectar, and it needs bees. So there's a lot of flowers. There's a lot of flowering fruits there. We've already talked about three of the different fruits that are found there, with the grapes, the pomegranates, and the figs. And that there's plenty of honey there as well. And honey is non-perishable. It's a sweetener. It would have been something that would be considered a delicacy. There's a lot of it. So everything that they want to survive and to be provided for, God was going to do that. And God was not only going to do that, but we see in the book of Judges that they weren't even going to have to start it. They were just going to have to maintain it. God said, I gave you vineyards which you had not planted. And he gave them these fields and this area that they didn't have to work for, just conquer the people and drive them out. These things would have provided them all of their physical needs. It would have provided a sweet rest for those that had seen it. It would have provided exactly what the children of Israel had been wanting. And not only that, but after living 400 years of servitude to the Egyptians, it was a land to call their own. A land to work with it, to do what they want. And today we can understand that. There's nothing better than to own your own home and be able to do with what you want. A lot of you have gardens. A lot of you have the ability to work. And you can do what you want with your own land. And that's really what the children of Israel saw. Was not only was everything that they needed to survive and to be plentiful going to be there, but they could do with it as they chose to. Which is exactly what God wanted them to have. But one of the things about the children of Israel that I want to take a look at, they may have been given this land of milk and honey, but they didn't listen. And we're going to talk about that more as we talk about what our goals are. But the children of Israel, we're told that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster for us. We're going to talk just a few minutes here about what happened when the children of Israel were given that land of milk and honey, what they did with it. So let's go to Judges chapter 1. So the entire book of Joshua talks about, and we're going to go to Judges here, but in the entire book of Joshua, it's the conquering of the Canaan land. The children of Israel come in and they conquer the Canaan land. But in Judges chapter 1, verses 27 down through the end of the chapter, I'm not going to read this, but I want you to take note of it. Because here in Judges, it lists all of the people the children of Israel did not drive out. God gave them this land that they could have, that they could survive, so that they could grow and become the nation that God was going to have worship Him and have the Messiah come through. But because they chose not to complete the conquest of the land of Israel, they paid for it. And it started off as something small. We didn't drive this inhabitants out. But it's going to be okay. We've got the rest of the land. They were so focused on getting their goal that they didn't complete the job to get the goal. And this over time, and their intermingling with the nations that were around them, and their desire to be like the nations around them, as we see as we get through Judges and then we get into 1st and 2nd Kings, and we see that their desire to have a king, they wanted to have a king, they wanted to be just like the nations around them that they did not drive out. And then because of that, seeing all of the other things that the nations around them were doing and the people that were intermingling with them, and they're falling away from the Lord and having these idols, caused them to lose this promised land. And we could study the entire Old Testament and just see that because of their decisions and because of what they failed to do here in Judges chapter 1, it caused them to lose this wonderful land that God had given to them. And eventually, if we go to 2 Chronicles, the end of the 36th chapter here, and we take a look at verses 17 down through the end of verse 21. Because the children of Israel didn't listen to God and didn't heed the warnings that God gave them to drive out the promised land, God had to make a decision. And this is what He brought on them. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, starting in verse 17. Therefore He brought them up against the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of the sanctuary, and had no compassion on the young men or the virgins or the old men or the aged. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the kings and the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God and broke down the wall of Jerusalem and burned it, its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels. And he took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they kept them, escaped and became servants to his sons, his sons until establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, which in the land he enjoyed its Sabbath, all the days it lay desolate. It keeps Sabbath and fulfills 70 years. So as we see here, because of their lack of taking care of the promised land, because of their lack of driving out the people, God had to destroy it and burn it with fire and give the land a rest. But because of also their decisions, because of the decisions that happened back in Judges, people were taken into exile back into the persecution that they had just come out of. All right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I wanted to talk a little bit about what we see here and the milk and honey and the providing for the physical needs. But I want to spend the rest of my time this morning in Revelations chapter 21 and chapter 22. We see what opportunity they had. Here in America, we have all of the physical things taken care of, but there are still struggles that we have. And God gives us this home, this goal, for us to look forward to. And I want to go ahead, and we're going to read all about Revelation. So we're going to read, I'm going to go ahead and read from the chapter 21, verse 9, down through beginning of chapter 22. And I want us to get this visual image of what God has prepared for us. I want us to walk out of here this morning and say, I see my goal. I know what I want. I see the good things that God is going to provide for me. And I want to be able to gain that. And then we can correct the sin in our lives to be able to point ourselves towards that. All right. Let's go ahead and we'll start reading here in verse 9, and I'll probably read down through the end of verse 15, and we'll talk about it here for a few minutes. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife, the Lamb. And he carried me away in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having in glory of God its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay. I just want to stop there, and I want to break each one of these down and talk about what we see here. It's coming down from heaven, and its radiance is like a rare jewel. I'm not even sure that John had the words to describe this, but he tried to using what God has created. It's like a rare jewel. It's like jasper. It's crystal clear. It's got these beautiful high walls. But what else does it have here? 12 gates. And on those gates were the 12 sons of Israel. And it also had 12 foundations as well. One of the things that I like to think about here as we start to talk about heaven is we always get people having pictures of heaven here with its gates, right? And here Peter stands outside and he's got his checklist of who can get in. There's 12 gates. Which one are you going to go in? It's not just one. I wonder if my family, Lord willing, will be going in one of those 12 gates. If they're going in the same one that I will. Will I be going in with some of you into the same gates? I just think that's really interesting. Will I go on the north side, east side, west side? I don't know how God's going to determine that, but are you going to go in the middle gate or the side gate? This is just something to think about, that there's so many different options that God has available for us. But we're going to talk about how it's a great big square as well. And the other thing is that heaven is possible from this foundation, to see these 12 names on the foundation. And as we come up to it, it's going to be breathtaking. It's going to be beautiful and bright. All right, let's go ahead and keep reading down through here, verse 15, down through verse 21. And the one who spoke with me had the measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. And the city lies four square. It lies in a square. Its length is the same as its width. And he measured the city with a rod, 12,000 staden, which, I want to make sure that we point this out, which is approximately about 1,380 miles to a side. I sometimes wonder, and I want to make sure that we remember this, one of the things about reading about heaven is, well, is heaven really going to be big enough for all of us? Yes, it will be. It's huge. And there's a reason for that, so that God can have all of his creation with him that have followed him. Its length and its width are equal, and its height are equal. He measured its walls at 44 cubits, by human measurement, which is also angels' measurement. The walls were built of jasper, and the city pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the walls of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. And we'll skip down here to verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, like transparent glass. It's pure gold. Now, we've seen glass, how reflective it is, but when you see glass in its purest state and the shiny reflection, One of the things that I find interesting, when you put yourself in a room that's full of mirrors and you put a light in it, it seems brighter because the light's reflecting off and it makes it much brighter than the original light there. But what I'm getting to is that it's going to be unbelievably bright. And he describes here the jewels that he has that we've got. It's going to be colorful as well. We're going to see how beautiful it is, but it's going to be bright, it's going to be colorful, it's going to be clean. And the gates are not like what we see on the little cartoons or whatever, like they're metal wrought iron gates. They're single pearls that God has set aside, that God has made. And that the streets are of pure gold. So no matter where we're walking, it's like transparent glass. It's such a beautiful visual image for me to see this beautiful white round pearl and then walk in and everything be shiny and bright and all of the different colors that we see here. All right, let's keep reading down here. And I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God and Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of a sun nor moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into its glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does not what is desirable, distasteful, or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. One of the other things about heaven is that the gates will never be shut because we have no fear of those things that are outside. I want you to think, one of the most relaxing points that I've ever had in my life is the point at which you just wake up right before your brain kicks on and you're so relaxed, you're just kind of trying to figure out what's going on, but you're just very relaxed, like you've been able to get a good solid night's sleep. And then what happens? All of the troubles and all of the concerns and everything that's going on just slams into your head, right? And your worry goes up and your anxiety goes up. That's what happens for me. I get a good night's sleep and all of a sudden I wake up and it's like it's all of the troubles and problems are there for the day. How am I going to solve them? How am I going to work through them? It won't be like that in heaven. It'll be a beautiful, wonderful, sweet rest that God has given to us. And that all of the good things that we see here on earth will be up there. That they will bring glory and honor of the nations. Those good things that the nations have done, God, that will be able to enter. But as it says here in verse 27, no unclean thing, nor what is false or distasteful, but only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It'll be wonderful to not have to worry about anyone that's going to be there. Everyone that's there deserves to be there. It's going to be a beautiful, wonderful place. All right. Let's go ahead and keep reading down through here as we start to get inside of heaven. Then the angel showed me the river of life of, excuse me, the river of the water of life brings a crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the streets of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruits, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And the night will be no more, and they will need no light of lamps nor sun, For the Lord God will be their light and will reign forever and ever. My family was just down at Alley Springs, and to see the water coming up out of Alley Springs and how beautiful and crystal clear it seems to be, I think that's maybe just a fraction of what it's going to look like coming out of the throne of God, because there will be nothing impure in it. But not only that, we'll see the tree of life. And I've never seen a tree bear any other fruit than the fruit that it was in, that a tree is, whether an apple tree or a pear tree, plum, whatever it might be. I've never seen a tree bear 12 kinds of fruits. And not only that, the leaves are for the healing of the nations. I think we can understand with our what we have these days, all the conflict and turmoil that are between nations. Sometimes I think we wish we could go grab one of those leaves to heal up those nations and to heal up the tragedy that's had. But we will worship Him, as it says here in verses 3 and 4. And there's never going to be a night. There'll be no reason to sleep. We will be able to forever worship God in His presence. So as we start to kind of wrap things up here, we've talked about the land that flowed with milk and honey, what the children of Israel really wanted, what the children were having a desire to have, that they were trying to fulfill the physical needs. And when they got it, they didn't follow after God, and they didn't do what they needed to complete it. Our heavenly home, if we choose to worship God and follow after Him, will be an eternal home, will be everything that we could ever want. To remove all the pain, the sorrow, all of the sickness, all of the issues that we have, where we can just serve God in a bright, beautiful, wonderful place, having all of our needs provided for by our Creator. That everything will be perfect. We need to shoot for this and have this as our goal. Have this set in our mind. Whenever you start to get down, whenever you start to think, well, is it really worth it? Take a look here and remember it. One other thing I'd like to mention before we close this morning. Tad and I were out walking yesterday, and we got into some seed ticks. I don't know why God created them, but just to be a pain for us. But those are by far one of the worst creatures that God has created, because you can't hardly see them. They hurt, they itch, they're very, for me, it was a very unpleasant experience. And you feel like you still got them on you. That's what sin is for us as well. It seems like such a small thing. A seed tick is such a small thing, but it can cause such a big problem, right? Well, it's only one lie. It's only one time. It's only one thing. Well, then this tick gets a hold and latches on. Then it starts to irritate you. Whether you think about it or not, it does. And when you let that sin sit and fester, all it's going to do is draw and get bigger. Well, it's only this one thing. And then it gets really big. There are several hunters out there, and you've seen the deer that have been covered with ticks. It's horrific. I don't know if any animals actually died because of the tick, but the tick carries diseases, and the more that it gets on it, it's taxing on the animal's body. Sin does the exact same thing. It starts off small, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it taxes more and more. And any diseases that it has inside of it, it passes to you. Sin does the same thing. It causes that death. And it causes, more specifically, you to be separated from God. It causes you to not have this hope and this way of getting into heaven. So this morning we offer the gospel invitation. We offer you that opportunity. If there's anyone out there that needs to remove those life-sucking sins from your life and have this beautiful home in heaven to look forward to, we offer you those opportunities as we stand and sing the invitation song.